Heavenly Father, we know your presence has been vindicated to the prophet and the prophet to us, and then even in this last day where the prophet said God did not only send Moses down to Egypt and then appear with him in signs and wonders, but he also appeared in the pillar of fire upon Mount Sinai. So today, and we even have his picture, which, Lord, you know, is hanging in this building here, and we know it's not really a picture of you. It's just the flash, the taking the light from your presence, but showing that you are here, that you're here as you were not here for 2,000 years is when you first brought the word to Paul. And then instantly, Lord, the seed of discrepancy came in. And now at the end time, there will be a bride whose mind, the womb so shut up that nothing will come in there except that pure word of God. And then every thought she has will be of you, which will be the true revelation of your word, and fully dressed for the wedding supper. This is our hope, Lord. This is what we believe. And if we're wrong, correct us, Lord, that we may be right, because we are sold out on this message, the best we know how, the best we know in our minds, the best we know anywhere. If there is some discrepancy in us, Lord, it's not that we intended to be there. We don't even know how to judge it, Father. We just don't understand. We're just trusting that we have heard the true word, we believe the true word, understand the true word, or a part of it, and we're resting on that this morning, that you take us deeper into your truth of simplicity. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now we're here, I suppose, on number 19. I never quite know where I'm at, but that's all right. My age, that I can still find myself turning the right corner one out of seven or eight times. No, it's not really too bad, you know, for an old feller. Now, we're looking then at the seed of discrepancy, and last Sunday we saw again Brother Branham's use of the unchanging and dynamic principle of Alpha and Omega. Now, the Alpha and Omega principle I cannot possibly emphasize too much, because Brother Branham did not actually take a sermon on it. He said that you can always tell the word through the Alpha and Omega principle by virtue of what is sown in the book of Genesis comes out in the book of Revelation. And he never took the time to explain as thoroughly as I have explained on spoken words as original seed. He told the preachers, and I'm one of them, that it was up to us to break it down and feed it to the people. So I've been very careful for many years to teach you this principle. And this is a very, very tremendous principle to guide you. And without it, I would warn you and say that you will go astray. There isn't one of you here on your own can simply go to Brother Branham's sermons and say, well, I'm back to Brother Branham, I'm fed up with Lee Vail and all the other guys, and I can do it. Unless you understand principle, you are going to cut your throat so bad, you won't have any blood left shortly. Because you must know the principles. If you do not know the principles, you cannot know this word, and I will challenge you. I'll tie you up in 3 minutes. And less than that. The Alpha and Omega principle, if you don't understand it, you cannot possibly understand Brother Branham using the scripture and saying what he is saying. You can't do it. Now, you may think you can. Well, I would suggest you start your own church. Not trying to get rid of anybody. But I'm a hard head. And I'm a hard heart. And I trust I got a strong enough backbone to stand it. Now, Brother Branham, I brought to your attention, though I did not do it the week before, I brought your attention last week, in using the principle, which is a law in the Bible that cannot change. See? So, last Sunday we saw again Brother Branham's using the unchanging and dynamic principle of Alpha and Omega, as he took two men, and only two men, Cain and Abel, as the seed sown in Genesis that ended in Revelation chapter 13, 11 to 18. We'll read it. Wherein we see Cain becoming the seed of ecumenism, or bearing the seed of ecumenism, the seed of discrepancy, and now today he is a multitude of about 5.5 billion people. In other words, one seed, one person now, enlarged to 5.5 billion people, and people acquainted with Revelation 13, and not understanding the principle of Alpha and Omega, will draw any conclusion whatsoever they desire as to how that 5.5 billion seed is there, and what it is. And if you do not understand this principle, you're just as good as a dead fundamentalist. Furthermore, if you don't want to understand it, it shows just where you're at. But if you want to understand it, you can understand it. Because we have a vindicated prophet with a pillar of fire over him. What happened at Sinai, as far as I'm concerned, is chicken feed. As to what's happened today. Especially in the light of your understanding that greater works than these shall he, singular, do. What man is that? Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and he, singular, opened the door. Now come in and sup with him. For one reason. The bride will be complete and able to rule and reign in the throne as even as yet has sat down in his fathers. Now, Brother Branham tells us, and we're going to read Revelation chapter 13 now instead of later, because I have neglected to read it on the grounds that you already know what's in it. Now, we'll begin at verse 11, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. Well, the lamb speaking like a dragon is a complete and perfect finale to Jesus Christ's statement in Matthew 7, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. This man now throws off his jacket. He bears his hand completely, and he speaks as a dragon. Now, the dragon is really a serpent. And what did the serpent do? He took the word of God and betrayed the whole world at that time, which was two people, Adam and Eve. He stood there, denying the sovereignty of God's word and instituted his own sovereignty. So this one here will be a great religious leader of tremendous respect. And no doubt, in my understanding, imitating, I think, was Pope John. John Paul was at 22, the shepherd of love. He could well be a tremendous individual, endowed with signs and wonders to lead people astray. But he will speak as a dragon. Now, first of all, that absolutely has to mean he's a false prophet. He's off of the word, though he may well use the word, because remember, Satan of himself doesn't have a word. He has to use God's word, and he perverts it. Now, he exercises all the power of the first beast. That's Rome, way back yonder, at the time of Jesus Christ and previous, and the time of the fall after Titus, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. Then Brother Branham tells how that wound was healed. It came back under papal Rome. Military Rome went down. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Now, we saw some of that out in Tucson when Lurie came back from India and there was fire popping around people's feet. And the cloud actually followed people as far as the Canadian border and turned back. I think even the cloud of the devil had was even scared of the Canadians. You can sure tell I don't have any love for that country. That country was the first country to put church and politics together just like the Catholic Church and whence it sprang. And you know what did it? The ecumenical movement. When Presbyterians and Methodists got together. Now, they've been doing that in the States all along, but they haven't made a party out of it. And deceiveth them that dwell in the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell in the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. Now, you're dealing with the actual system itself. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. And the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. That's to do the will of the system and to bleed the system. Now, it doesn't matter anybody tells you of plastic cards or tattoos or little radios that they, little chips that they plug in your brain. That's hogwash. Forget it. Forget it. That's so stupid it stinks. Why? Because the original seed is they have sheep clothing. They act like, do everything the same as sheep. So this is right back to the Garden of Eden, which is the trickery of Satan, the delusion, the giving of the false revelation. So watch it. It's got to head up. And it heads up from one to multiplied millions. And that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. And the number is 666. That, of course, is the 666 from the Roman numerals that are under the Pope's name. Now, I'm going to read to you a little article that came out this week in the news, U.S. News, and I'm sure some of you read it. The genetic Eve gets a genetic Adam. It had to happen. Barbie had to have, what do they call that goof off that they named it for Barbie's boyfriend? Huh? Who? Ken? Well, Barbie had to have a Ken. Eve's got to have Adam. 8 years ago, researchers found the mother of all humans, the proverbial Eve. By peeking into the cells of several ethnic groups, they traced the family tree of modern humans back 200,000 years to a single, albeit theoretical, woman, mitochondrial Eve, named for the part of the cell passed from the mother and examined in the study, was hardly the only female human who was bearing children at the time. But scientists said her genes were the ones that endured. Now, hogwash, there weren't any others. The Bible categorically said, backed up by a vindicated prophet, mother was the, Eve was the mother of all living. That's it, period. No question mark. No manipulation of the very best computers and chips you can get, and the finest scientists you can get with the finest equipment. Eve is the mother of all living, period, but it doesn't say Adam is. Now, listen. Now Eve has an Adam. In two reports in last week's Nature, researchers suggest that virtually all modern men, 99.9% of them, says one scientist, are closely related genetically and share genes with one male ancestor, Y chromosome Adam. Remember, the woman doesn't have the Y. It's just male and female have X, but she doesn't have the Y. Unlike other chromosomes, Y's, that's capital Y, chromosome, are passed strictly from father to son, thus enabling scientists to follow the human race patrilineally, in other words, through the fathers. Each study dates Adam differently. One says he appeared 188,000 years ago, hogwash. The other estimates he lived up to 49,000 years ago, more hogwash. But both buck the notion that modern humans emerged in disparate or separate and widely scattered spots across continents. We are finding that humans have very, very shallow genetic roots, which go back very recently to one ancestor, said the University of Arizona's Michael Hammer. Let him hammer that one out. Author of one of the studies. That indicates that there was an origin in a species location on the globe, and then it spread out from there. Now listen, 99.9, they're off what? 0.1%, right? What did Brother Branham say? 0.001%. So therefore, for 5.5 billion people, how many can there be that are actually human? Or could be actually human? 55,000. They could be wise and foolish virgin. But that could be your limit. So what we're seeing here, brother, sister, is science itself is proving there's a seed of discrepancy. They come up with the fact there is one woman, but there could be several men. The fact of the matter was there were two sires. The serpent and Adam. And they've come down, of course, as we know, and we'll look at that this morning, as we get further into our notes. Now, in reading Revelation 13, concerning the death of all those who oppose, all those in opposition to the ecumenical movement, we see the multiplied carnage. One man killed, last step, millions killed. Perhaps. Thousands killed. And through the ages, the same seed of discrepancy has counted for millions of saints. The Catholic Church itself having killed at least 26 million Protestants, if not more. Not saying they're all virgin bride, but saying they're at least in the lineage, and they could be all wise and all foolish virgins. But they have been destroyed. As it says in the 13th chapter, that everyone that does not come under the shield, does not come under the banner, does not acquiesce, does not become partakers of their communion, their baptism and their love feast, and their worship unto Almighty God, will be killed. Some will just starve to death. Others put to the sword. We do not know, but that is the scripture. So, in reading Revelation 13, concerning the death of all those who oppose the ecumenical move, we see the multiplied carnage as when Cain killed Abel for opposing the unity that Cain demanded. Now you see, that's the thought that Brother Branham brings us. And that's the thought that unless you understand Alpha and Omega, you just say, well, Brother Branham is supposing. Brother Branham is just talking through his hair, and he doesn't have even much hair to talk through. In other words, you end up a smarty pants, a spiritual smarty pants. Nothing but wind. The principles of the Word of God are unchanging. They endure forever and will continue to endure. Thank God in the form of the original. I do not intend to enter the millennium with one drop of or one cell that has anything to do with the serpent. Any more than I intend to go on this life and have any thoughts of mine that have to do with the old ecumenical move, the fundamental and the junk that I came out of. The Pentecostal claptrap and balderdash. The fasting and praying to twist God's arm and then disobey the word on the way out. Now if you're being hit, you better be hit. I'm not 81 years for nothing. I haven't been through Pentecost for nothing. Methodism and well, my God, Presbyterian and Baptist, the whole schmear. This is the only message that has any life in it whatsoever. So Cain killed Abel for opposing the unity that Cain demanded. Denying and opposing sovereignty, which is of God. What is so terribly unreasonable is that Cain did not have a revelation from God nor any definitive knowledge that gave him any right to even pretend that he did. But let alone impose his religion on another and demand acquiescence even if it meant killing the opposition. Where was this person's vindication? He didn't have any. Did God vindicate himself to Cain and then Cain to Abel? Hogwash. There was only one alternative, believe it or not, and that was to kill. You say, well, Cain could have done so-and-so, and Cain could have done this, and Cain could have done that. You don't even know what you're talking about. You don't even understand sovereignty. You're still back there in that Methodist quagmire of corruption. There was nothing Cain could do but get rid of the opposition. And getting rid of the opposition meant really got of the favor of God and God's intervention. You think God's going to intervene for goats and pigs? You gotta be sick. You don't find it. Get rid of it. I moved God right out of the picture, but God doesn't move out of the picture. He's God. You don't tell God what to do. God tells you what to do. Cain did not love his brother. No way. The best he would have done was make a physical concession of sparing him and even aiding him to cope with the physical existence of those times. Goodwill societies. Salvation Army. Soup kitchens, hospitals, all fine, no problem. If I was going to give any money, I'd give the Salvation Army. Just tell you flat, that's the only ones I'd give to. Red Cross, drop dead. Cancer Society, I'd like to see him brought before trial and thrown in jail. United Way, another Armani, to spend, throw away $700,000 on whores and a good time. I can give him a plug nickel of the sweat off my nose. No. But this guy would have been nice to Abel. This guy would have been helpful. He would have taken charge of Abel and his generations. He would have bent over backwards for his ecumenical universal plan. But when evidence or vindication from God was made known to him, and he saw God favor Abel, he killed Abel. Thus we see that the seed of ecumenical love and well-doing, we see what it is really all about. It contains the power of death and not life, and their love is a sham. And I've been preaching this for years, and this is one of the strong keys that Brother Branham has handed me. The law of Alpha and Omega, to go back to the beginning of ecumenism. Who would have dared to believe outside of a vindicated prophet that Cain stood for ecumenism and Balaam right on his trail? How many on your own would have got it? I'm going to sit in my hands in a second. And yet the seed is there. If it's in Revelation 13 in the name of common sense, where did it come from? It's got to come from somewhere. There's no such thing as the law of spontaneous generation. It takes something to produce something. Even the old economic quote, something for something. Of course, Friedman said, there's no such thing as a free lunch. There's no such thing as a harvest without a sowing. And rye will never produce wheat. You wonder where ecumenism came from. Chapter 13 comes from. You got to go back to the beginning. When the beginning is in Cain, whose roots were in the serpent. Clever, reasoning, sharp, came as an angel of light, came as a destroyer bringing death, pretending he was bringing love. Yeah, he brought erotic love, all right. So you can have it. Any love so called, contained in it, ecumenism, fundamentalism, because that's what's going there. Any love so called contained in it is to foster a relationship with you that you will then believe their doctrine and stand with them. Million more in 54. Try to make you a lodge member. Try to convert you to hogwash. I remember I was in California right after Brother Branham died, and there was this guy who had invited this Seventh-day Adventist with all his junk. And he said he believed Brother Branham, but pretty soon he's worshiping on Saturday. Find it in the Bible. Where's a vindicated prophet, a stupid woman named Mrs. Miller? A woman. A woman. Yeah, the fall guy in the Garden of Eden. The one that doesn't have the vessel pertaining to the word that it may have the word. So they have this woman. They'll be where she is. Not because Leeville says so, that's the word of Almighty God. Blind leaders the blind, and they all fall in the ditch. Real love would be an attempt to guarantee your rights of freedom, of worship, and sacrifice to do it if necessary. As one man said, I don't believe in what you are saying, but I'll defend to my death your right to say it. Serpent seed won't do this, though it is easy to believe that the foolish virgin will when necessary. They're too smart because they got that seed in there, but no baptism to give them clarity whereby they can be fooled. But they can't be fooled unto death, because no seed of God can come to the place of a complete delusion. There'll be things that the bride has believed that are wrong, but always that little light that God gave, and remember, started in a big light with Paul and went out, 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 down, down, down under the fourth age, started to come back under 5, 6 and under 7. It went into almost total blackness and eclipse. And I guess it's this coming year we get a total eclipse in America. There's just one coming up, 1996, the best I understand. But now the light has come back. Because he is the light, and he, that light, was pointed to by that light, William Branham, that light may bring us the light of the word that we had need of. That is what you're looking at. Now, let's go to 1 John, the 3rd chapter. We begin to see what we're looking at. The Bible distinctly says here, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous even as he is righteous. There's a second person involved there. We're talking about Jesus. You're right with him. He that committeth sin is of the devil, the man that enters into unbelief. For the devil sins from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. That's why Brother Branham said, there'll come a time when you realize you always were saved. He didn't do it in the first place. In the light of what we've been taught for centuries and what we came out of, this is a very difficult proposition, because it seems more than foolhardy and presumptuous to align ourselves with Jesus Christ and claim the very righteousness of God, even as Paul did when he said, we have become the righteousness of God by our union with him. And Brother Branham said, how can you make a man a sinner when the blood of Jesus Christ scatters sin till there be no evidence thereof? Whosoever born of God doth not commit sin. His seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. In other words, all the way down from God, wheat remains wheat. You can't change it. Sheep remain sheep. And in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever sinneth doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Now notice in there we have an interpolation. And the interpolation is neither he that loveth not his brother, for this is the message you heard in the beginning, that we should love one another. That's an interpolation, throws everybody right off on the sidewalk, then they pull up the sidewalks and you're out there in the mud. Because they don't understand that's an interpolation. So kill the interpolation. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sins to the beginning. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. And this the children of God are manifest the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his brother would not do what he was doing in an act of worship toward God. Now I ask you, is that Revelation 13 or isn't it? Then where did the seed of ecumenism appear? It appeared in Cain, two men. And one man says, you will worship God the way I do. In other words, Cain was a perfect antichrist who said, I'm God to you whether you like it or not. And I am God because I'm telling you what you're going to do and I can make you do it. Look how big I am. He was a giant. Now if you don't do it, I'll cut your throat with this jagged flint. So Abel said, well, if that's the way it is, that's the way it is. If you threw that little brother upon the altar where he'd slain the lamb and God received him in the fire coming down, and he just ripped his throat up with that flint. Now let's look, come on, let's read it again. He that commits sin is of the devil, verse 8. For the devil sins from the beginning. He certainly did. What beginning? When iniquity is found in him. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, he might destroy or bring to nothing the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. Now there's eternal security right there. How can you get lost if God says you can't get lost? So you change the Bible, do what you want with it. Why, it only stands to reason. Well, does it now? I thought it was up to God. I didn't know it stood to our reason. Oh, at one time I thought I had a part in it. More than enough to mess up everything God ever had on earth. Whosoever born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth, he cannot sin because he's born of God. In this the children of God are manifest and children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither him that loveth not his brother. Now that tells you plump and plain the ecumenical boy did not love his brother. See, I've preached this for years, but never got... I'm going to tell you something. I've had clues from Brother Branham year after year. I preached a whole series, and I preached it in fear, but I knew I had to be right somewhere because it doesn't work any other way. And here it is right here. The hocus pocus, the sweet baloney. Yeah. Not the wine that's sour, but the sweet wine that'll make you vomit. Full of pollutants and crud and crap. I read it to you. Neither he that loveth not his brother. The ecumenical boy. Now do you see why Brother Branham talked about the kind old priest and the renegade Jesus? Do you see why he said this? The Christian scientists have 100 times more love than you and I ever thought of having? He's talking about that filial love, that surface love. People think we're a cult. People think we hate them. I think John was just down here talking to some merchant in town a while ago, and he said, the way Betty dresses, you must be one of those grace gospel people. You hate everybody. Everybody, nobody's going in but you. Hey, we ain't keeping anybody out. I'm not sending anybody to hell. You go on your own steam. I got no way to send anybody to hell. I preach the truth. I'm standing on it. Now listen. For this is the message that we heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. All right. Where does that come in? It comes in the fact of the revelation that God gave Abel. Slay the lamb. Slay the lamb. Shed its blood and you're home free. Herein is the love of God manifested. That God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. And it started with a sheep way back there. And Abel said, here, use my altar. Now I'm making this up. As you have to well know. For all I know, he said it. He stood right there when the fire came down, consumed his offering. Brother Branham said so. Manifestly declared that God loved him. And when Cain was angry, God said to him, now listen, my love is towards you at this point. There's a sin offering lying right there. Now with you, Cain, what happened is you have rightly offered. But you haven't rightly divided, so therefore it is sin. The word must be within the framework of the word. It must be according to revelation and why it is there. And Cain says, I'll see Abel dead first before I take that. Now, you can say what you want. And you're going to look around and you're going to see all these people that are ecumenical minded. And you're going to see organizations which you have looked at. And you're going to go perhaps to India and some other places where you see other religions. And you're going to say, when it comes to love, we can't hold a candle to them. Well, be my guest and go to hell saying it. If you want to go far as filial love in India, then go to erotic love, where temples are plumb dedicated to sex and everything raw and heathen is on the walls. The grown men took 8-year-old girls and younger and ripped them up to have more satisfying erotic love. Wonder if anybody here outside of me has read any history. They're all a bunch of engineers and mathematicians, maybe. You don't get that in a mathematics textbook. You get it by reading history. The old British Missionary Society, where godly millionaires would give 1 million and 5 million pounds to spread the gospel. And in those days, a pound was 5 Yankee dollars. Love? Love? Tell me about your love. Spout it. This is a message you heard from the beginning. What beginning? When the complete anti-type of the Lamb came on the scene. Going back to Cain's altar. I beg your pardon, Abel's altar. Where the blood of the Lamb was spilt. And ecumenical Cain says, listen, we're brothers. There's no difference. My father's not the serpent. Ah, that's not what happened. No, no. Not at all. We're both from God. I choose to worship this way. And furthermore, I can make my way overcome your way. Well, sure, you can kill the guy, but you can't kill the soul. And you can't kill the principle of Alpha and Omega. And that's the good one. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one. And he slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. Marvel not that the world hate you. Then how are you going to get any love out of ecumenism? It hates you. It only loves you in the sense of his distorted conception when it can make a show in your flesh a million more in 94. And then again we'll open the door for another million. We've got room for every heretic and heathen. Marvel not. The world may hate you. And we know we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Now just a minute. Here's a brother that hates a brother. He's a serpent seed guy and he's ecumenical in his outlook. Now here's another brother and he's not ecumenical. He fights the system. And if he's a true believer, he doesn't have a bone to pick with anyone outfit. He has a bone to pick with everybody. Because he will not be cajoled into joining anything or anybody. He stands simply with the word of Almighty God. He doesn't put anybody in or anybody out because he doesn't have the authority. He couldn't do it if he tried. And the best he could do is kill the guy. Or cripple him. Ruin his reputation. Throw him in jail. Or something. But the Bible said, fear not that which can kill the body, but not the soul. Okay, only fear that which can destroy body and soul in hell, and that's God. Marvel not, my brethren, the world hate you. So here we got a brother now that's 100% world, cosmos. Here we got a guy that's a kind old priest manifesting a lot of love. Here's a lot of people that shine, as it were, in their own light. We know we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. And Brother Branham explained it. How can you not help love each other when you love this message? It's quite a puzzle to me how a certain man used to sit here and said, I love the message but hate the messenger. The message and the messenger is one. I'm one with what I teach. I don't question anybody. I don't go up to Lyme up there and ask what those birds are doing. I wouldn't go up anyway. I want to ask what the eagle says. I don't care about write-ups in the paper and trying to look good. God's been good to me. He's protecting me from all these snoopy idiots that come around and try to find out things. And when they write me letters, I just throw them in the garbage. He spared me at least that much. So, you know you pass from death unto life, which means you know you're born again because you love this message. What's the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Now you tell me. Oh, Brother Ben, it's love. I agree. If it's this love, I'm all for it. But love without basis of loving this word, you ain't got it. You're just an ecumenical tin can that's pretending you're a telephone because there's someone rubbing a string through there. Little kids' games. No Christian. Not having heard from God, but heard from the tin can. I've heard from the prophet. Whosoever hates his brother is a murderer. No problem. He is. And we know that no murder hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Oh, no, no, no. Up and kill him. Kill them. Get rid of them. We'll have more food that way. Be easier on us. Get those cuss balls out of our conscience. Where's the Mormon's vindicated prophet, Joe Smith, with his crap? Whoever saw the angel Joe Smith saw? Mormons. Now they find out that even Joe Smith didn't endorse polygamy. He was bringing young with his 17 or 37 wives. The old sex monger. Yeah, legalized house of prostitution. Well, it's a thousand times better Hollywood marrying divorce, but it's still wrong. So it says here, he's got no life abiding in him. Now, first of all, you got to love the word. Then you got to find someone who loves the word that you love. That's communion, that's fellowship. You going to kill that guy? We've had our share around here, and I'm still going down the road at 81. I just may be back and live a little longer just to spite some people. So I don't pretend to be there fully love. I just got this. There's only one thing that makes me, my eyes light, and anything within me move, and believe me, not much is moving. One time they couldn't even get blood out of my veins, it was so thick and it wouldn't move. That's true. I got my blood thinned up. I could have had a stroke. It's a pity I didn't. I couldn't point so I get gone. Okay. Hereby proceeds the love, because he laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. You realize that that's already in us? You realize that's why, if this church is commended for hospitality, it is because of this word. If it's commended for helping people and doing those things that should be done, it's because of this word. If you're sitting here looking for a handout, I got news for you. You'll get it. But you ain't one of us. You'll pay your price. Because that's all you'll get is a handout. Yeah? Well, I won't tell you any more about that. You know enough now. But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and so on, shall be bowels. How can the love of God be in him? And so on. So we see here what real love is. And I've said it many times. The love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And there's only one way the Holy Ghost gets there, and that's by the Word, which is the conduit. Let me tell you something flat. You don't go down to the well with a basket made out of reeds to draw water. You go down with a bucket without holes. You know, Belafonte sings that song with that very famous black South African woman who made famous the Click song. And they sing about, go down and get a bucket of water. He said, I can't do it. There's a hole in the bucket. Well, she said, chop some straw and fill the hole. And it goes on and on and on. He's just a lazy bum. He doesn't want to go to hell. There's no lazy bum Christians amongst us when it comes to doing the right thing based upon the Word of God. Because let me tell you, the Holy Ghost is no lazy bum, bringing this word alive in mortal members. Now, let's just take a little look further. I'm not going to get anywhere today other than what I've got to this point. But let's just, seeing we've looked at 1 John 3, let's go to the book of Acts, the 20th chapter. And then we'll proceed in some more scripture that you may know that Brother Branham, in enunciating what he enunciated, and said, you ministers, break it down. I'm not only willing to break it down, but put it through the mill. And if necessary, use a 4x4 to bang it into your skulls. If I thought it'd do any good. Now, in Acts 20, Paul has these elders all together. And he said, verse 26, chapter 20, wherefore I take you to record this day, make a record, that I am pure from the blood of all, not just men, but all. For I have not, now why? For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. He didn't say they took it. He didn't say they took it. He's not a mealy-mouthed preacher running around and says, I'd like to talk with you before I preach in your pulpit, because I'm a very compassionate man, and I'm very careful not to upset anybody at all. And so he talks, and he talks to this fellow over here, this pastor, and he gets up and he preaches what this pastor preaches. And then he goes to the next church and he says to the pastor, he said, look, he said, you and I ought to get together a while, because he said, there's so many guys running around the country, they're upsetting pulpits and they just love to do it. But he said, I'm not that kind of a guy. I'd like to talk with you. What do you believe? So he preached with this guy, believes, which is 100% opposite of what he preached last night. Now, if you think I'm lying to you, let me bring in Terry Sproul, and he'll mention names and how he picks certain guys apart inch by inch. If you think Terry Sproul's a patsy, I got another thought for you. He's got more guts than a gut wagon. Farmers ought to know a little bit about that. I've not shunned to declare. Take heed therefore unto yourselves. He said, now watch. You better watch now, he said, from what I've done. And to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. And what are they going to feed them? They're going to feed them what Paul brought. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock, and of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. In other words, bless God, here's a message I can use that nobody else has, or until this time, and I can use it the way I want it, and I'll get a big flock of people coming in. Because the fellow's smart enough to know if he preached Paul word by word like we're trying to do here, he ain't going to get a very big flock. And the more I find people and preachers hate me, the more I rejoice. That's scriptural. I never was so happy for a long time since I found out so few people had any use for me. And they're falling off by the minute. I'm not hurting anybody. Actually, I'm a little bit bold. I'm a little bit nasty, a little bit naughty, a little bit crude. Quite a bit. But I don't ask for anybody's money. I don't go to your homes. I don't bother you. If you don't like it, stay home, because I'm going to preach. Nobody listens. I'll put it on the tape and see if anybody wants it. I live my own life. Yeah, we're not some organization, some society. You better believe that. See? Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Remember, Brother Branham said the word only lasts 3 years, and then, boink, it's gone. Here's your clue. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver, and so on, and so on, and so on. So Paul is telling them here that these people are certainly there. They're all around the place. And they've invaded the church already, even as Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11, you've already got another Jesus, another gospel, another spirit. And I stop and think right there, my God, if they already got that, what in the world have they had for 2,000 years? You know what they've had? The sovereignty of God. The Lord knoweth them which are his. And we're in him in the beginning. There's a promise to Abraham, predated by the promise to the Son, that covenant. And I don't care what has been preached for 2,000 years, I don't care a hoop. And I don't care a hoot. Because I've got a sovereign God that made a promise to his Son and to Abraham. And I don't have one thing to do with it. Except I'm included in it. And if I am, heaven and hell can rock. It makes no difference because one time they're going to flee away anyway. They're going to fly from the face of God. And if I'm part of that covenant, there's no way I'm going to miss it. But at the end time, there's something different. There's a different word because the word returns in order to bring forth immortality on earth where it was originally. Not just for Adam and Eve, but for progeny that they should bear. And will have true human sons and daughters of God on this earth for a little while. 40 days maybe. Till he takes them away to bring them back. In about 3.5 years. Now then, not only is this so, but we want to look at Acts 17. And in Acts 17, Paul on Mars Hill, and this is not an interpolation, this is part of the message, in my preview here, which will be the message. Verse 22, then Paul stood on Mars, the midst of Mars Hill, and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive in all things you're too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. And yet Paul's the same one that said that God by Christ Jesus created all things. The Genesis account holds good. You just got to know that William Branham had the revelation how it was done. When there wasn't even one Adam, only God himself, that light foreign from God, that was the Son of God. Now, there's two of them. And one's not God, he's the Son of God. He's the image of God. He's the essence of God, the essentiality, the substance, the outreign. You and I aren't. He's the beginning of the generations of God. And we were in him. And we came through Adam. And he came through us. So I don't know why God should do that. Mind your stinking business or go to hell. We're not here to fool with dribbling. Do what you want. Your Methodists, go back to the Methodists. Your Mennonite, go back to your square hats. You invented God, go ahead. River Baptist, German Baptist, Amish, the whole bunch. Go on. He's in a square hat, is he? Salvation Army, is that your baptism, your suit? You talk about blasphemy. Talk about blasphemy, brother. You better look at that picture and look at a good and understand vindication. So, where were we here? Neither is worship with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he gave it to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times there before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if happily, in other words, if probably, or good luck, whatever, they might feel after him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your poets said, for we are also his offspring. For as much as then are we the children of God, we ought not to think the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Because he appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he had named, for he had given assurance unto all men, had he raised from the dead. And when they heard that, so on and so on. Now, my point is what I'm bringing out here, is that after talking about the ecumenical move, and the big thing, we're all brothers. Hey, we all believe in God. And the Pope says, there's three monotheistic religions. There's the Jews, there's the Christians. And we're Judo-Christian religion. We combine the two. And there's the Muslim. And he said, I'm going to be the head of all three right there in Houston. Well, fine, he can be the head of all of mine. He's not going to be my head. I got nothing to do with that claptrap and balderdash. But, you see, the ecumenical precept started back there when they were not one flesh, period. Two flesh. One real human, one hybridized serpent seed flesh. With human in it. Now, by the time of the flood, there was only one perfect genetic man, that was Noah. Everybody else was mixed up. Now, in the light of what I read, the ecumenical group has a pretty strong argument, except for the fact of the real truth. And the real truth is Romans 9. Verse 8, that is they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. The potter out of one lump. In there lies that seed from God and from the devil in the male sperm. And the woman ovaries produce a seed also in the sense of an ovum, which science has proven gives electrical discharge in order to attract the right sperm. So now in one lump, we have children of God, and we have children of Satan. We have children of obedience, we have children of disobedience. They are there in one lump. And as Brother Branham said, a virgin birth is nothing compared to the intricacy of a human birth, where there's 15,000 male sperm across the diameter of one hair. Now, where the woman produces at least 250,000 eggs, well, that's a bunch of kids. And that's only the beginning, because she has little cellar-like things back in there that could be a million. So when Brother Branham says a million sperm, a million eggs, people thought, hey, he doesn't know his biology, but he certainly does. And his physiology, too. They were the ones in error. See? So here we find that the ecumenical people will take every scripture and do everything they can to show that they have love. You bunch of scuzzballs that come here to Grace Gospel Church in St. Paris, you don't have love. You put everybody out. You don't believe anybody's going to make it with you. We don't even know that. By grace, we've taken our stand. By the revealed Word of God vindicated, we know what evidence there is, if there's any at all. That the Holy Ghost baptism does not come with sensation or manifestation or evidence or anything at all. Yet you gotta know that you have it. And the only way you know, if you believe this message, is the word of the hour. How could God send a prophet on a scene and a child of God turn it down? I want to know. I want to know. I'll tell you how it was done. The Sanhedrin was full of serpent seed. The whole hierarchy was full of serpent seed. And Jesus said, search the scripture, for in them you think you have eternal life. Which is very true. And if you look at it, you'll find it testifies of me. I'm the one of whom Moses spoke. Look at it. And they said, drop dead stupid. You never came to our place in the first place. You know, Brother Branham's name's in the Book of Mormon prophecies. A certain gentleman said, I've got it right in my office, I'll show you. If you want to come down. Why don't the Mormons run after Brother Branham? You know what? Because Brother Branham didn't go to the Mormons. Oh, great Mormon temple. Oh, great Mormon president. Oh, great Mormon choir. Oh, great Mormon bean. Never went there. Why should he? Started by a false angel. When did God give the devil dignity? Well, don't answer that question, for the simple reason he gave him plenty of dignity on the grounds that the devil uses all the gifts. But it's a slider, a sinker, and a hook ball all at one time. You're never going to get on base with it. Not in God's ballgame. So, much for the preamble. Now let's find out where I got all this information, which is about, what, 60 minutes? Huh? 25 to go? Well, I've got more than 60 minutes on this preamble. So let's read what I got all this information from. Page 11, paragraph 85. What happened? The church just got started out of Egypt under Moses. The same as they got started under Paul. Just got on its feet a few days. I've been with you 3 years and you're already polluted. And what happened? Satan came along with his discrepancy in the person of the second Cain, which was Balaam. What happened under Paul? Not a true fivefold ministry. No, no, they didn't do any damage. It was those elders. It was those elders. You see, they were elected and put in by men, but God put the pastors and the prophets and the apostles and the teachers and evangelists in. A different story. That's Ephesians 4. I can prove it. Satan came along with his discrepancy in the person, the second Cain, which was Balaam. And he sowed discrepancy amongst them. We know that's right. That Balaam, the teaching of Balaam, that we're all the same. We serve the same God you do. Fundamentally, he was right. So was Cain. Thou hast correctly offered, but thou hast not rightly divided, therefore hast thou not sinned. And what did the Apostle Paul say? Rightly dividing the word of truth. You don't divide it right, you're out. Well, say, merciful God, Brother Bill, how's it going to be done? Already been done by a prophet. Why don't you look him up? Very nice fella. Very nice man to meet and be with. Certainly good material to peruse. We say to serve God, you do. Fundamentally, he was right, because he offered a sacrifice that God offers. He was in the Bible, 7 rams, 7 bullocks, 7 altars, and prayed to the same God, just as perfect as Moses did down in the wilderness. Just exactly the same. And what was the big deal? What's the cheese mites doing in the cheese? Where'd the mold and mildew come from? Simple as ABC, wrong genes. No gene from God. No gene from God. Go right down the line looking like a Christian. And I ask the question, to whom did the word of God come? Moses. To whom did the new message come? Moses. To whom did the word come in order to enter the promised land? Moses. Now compare that today and you got your perfect picture. Just as perfect as Moses did, it's just exactly the same. But they were not the same. Those two people were not the same. The same as Cain and Abel were not the same. Foreshadowing to us what would come to pass, there was again Cain manifested in the person of Balaam. And there was God manifested in the person of Moses. Oh, brother, do you think they believe that? You think people believe that now any more than when Jesus came and God manifested in Jesus there in Palestine? Walked the shores of Galilee, raised the dead, turned water into wine, healed the sick, performed miracles, stilled the storms? Do they believe it? Why, by no means, no, they didn't believe it. Anybody could come along and sidetrack them. Why, they already were sidetracked. If you believe letting the air out of your tires is going to get you out of the desert, just go ahead and let the air out and find what happens to you. If you've been sold a cockeyed bill of goods of what's good for you and it's wrong, you just die. That's all. You're a tough luck. You say, Brother Bill, that sounds awful cruel. Not when it's vindicated. We're not talking about Luther. We're not talking about Wesley. We're not talking about Pentecost. We're talking about this William Branham. With a picture of the Shekinah glory reflecting on a camera and on a photograph. You said, that's real. See, Brother Dale, is that real? If that isn't real, then there ain't no millennium that you think you're going to. There ain't no resurrection you think you're going to be part of. Just have yourself a nice dinner with me today. And be happy you got a nice dinner. That's all. Eat, drink, and be merry. For the more you fry. It's the truth. You know, people think that, people think they can think their own thoughts on this subject. Well, it could be. If you got it could be, forget it. So, Brother Dale, the point is we do know there's phenomenon. We understand there's certain peculiar things that happen. It's been known for the ages, I grant you. But tell me how many times there was, thus saith the Lord. God vindicating himself to a prophet, the prophet vindicated to us, and the word of God vindicated thoroughly. Now you see you're over a barrel. I want you to produce something. And oh my God, we've got every book today almost on computer. I'll even give you the money to join the internet for all the libraries in the world. I don't care if it costs me $10,000, I'll write you a check for it. And you find me one time outside the Apostle Paul and William Branham, the truth of thus saith the Lord, and Moses. You show me in history. And if you can't do it, I want my $10,000 back and $3,000 interest. or I'll sue you. I'm not going to give you a free ride, fooling on you. I don't get a free ride. My ride cost Jesus something. I want people to prove something. See, ecumenism proves nothing. Except we know it's full of death. And there was God manifested in the person of Moses. Yes, 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 yes. Because God was in Moses doing the works and saying the words, the same as he was in Jesus. And that brings Jesus being right down to a man. Because if he was God, he wouldn't need anybody to tell him the words or do the works. He was not omniscient, he was not omnipotent, so how could he be God? He's the Son of God. Hallelujah. And he's on his Father's throne, praise his holy name. And he's worthy of worship until the rafters would ring and the chandeliers swing back and forth and people would be beside themselves, anticipating his glorious presence in the rapture. That's the Son of God. God was manifest in him. And God was manifest in William Branham. And William Branham wasn't omniscient the day he looked a hole in me for about 5 minutes. No, 3 minutes. It felt like 40 days and nights and orders. About 3 minutes he looked a hole in me. You people just heard about Hebrews 4 and 12. I experienced it. There's a difference. You heard about being in the room with the pillar of fire. I was right within maybe 4 feet of it. What does that mean to me? Nothing except the grace of God. It's not going to get me out of anything else. But you think I'm not going to testify to these things? You're wrong. For we testify to those things which we have seen and which we do know. And we do know these things and we continue to testify. See? God was manifested in the person of Moses. His words through a human being, making himself known. His promise through a human being. Oh, yes, through a human being. Jesus was a human being. I repeat, Jesus was a human being. We have one mediator in God and man, not the God Christ Jesus, because he is not God. He's a man. I want a man. I need a representative. And except for that man, none of us is going to make it. No. So I bless God, I'm a son of God, I got a gene of God. Never mind, he just blew it right there. He just blew it right there. Ignorant, proud. Well, I kind of feel bad saying that, but it's still the truth. But you forgive me for saying it. Because it doesn't count here, it counts somewhere else. There was God manifest in the person of Moses, interpreting his word through a human being, making himself known, his promise through a human being, and the discrepancy raised up. In other words, ecumenism raised its dirty, rotten, hydra-headed monster features and did its best to suck away the life of everyone and purported thereby to give life by taking life. And giving love by attaching every string to it. And the strings were, do my bidding and think my thoughts. And even the great, great, great Norman Grubb got fooled. Remember what I told you? Several years ago, I went into a doctor's office. Perhaps it was a dentist over there in Troy. And I was so happy to pick up this book of Christian literature because it was so interesting. And in there I see the words, I see Norman Grubb, and I say, oh, that's one of the really great 20th century men of God. Hallelujah. And in there Norman Grubb says, the greatest event of the 20th century is the ecumenical move. The greatest one for God. Well, in one way he was right, because it sure cleared the atmosphere. The binding of the tares. And here's a great man proclaiming Jesus Christ and a changed life and the blood. And the Holy Spirit and the things of God, He's renowned by every denomination and every person that names the name of Jesus, as though Jesus really meant something. He's so entirely deluded, he said, the greatest move, the greatest thing that God gave us in the 20th century was the ecumenical move. And it's true, the binding of the tares. But he didn't mean it that way. No, he meant it elsewise. So did it do in the time of Judas. There he came with his discrepancy. And remember this sin that those people believed, that we're all the same. We worship the same God. We should all belong to the same church. We should be the same people. What do you think of Germany with its national church? What do you think of Norway? Wouldn't let Brother Branham pray for the sick. What do you think of that bunch? You think they got anything? Oh, come on. Well, they got plenty all right, but they got it out of the wrong book. They got it out of the book of death. And eroticism. And filio. See? And remember, this sin, those people believed that they were all the same. We worship the same God. All belong to the same church. We should be the same people. That sin was never forgiven Israel. And Jesus said himself, they are all dead. It was never forgiven. It wasn't either. Because you know what? They got enjoined in a pagan festival of erotic phallic worship. I beg your pardon, reverse it. We're for the woman, not the male. The real where the word biopeo, you trace it down, you're going to find it has to do with a woman. And right today you got people trying to tell us that God is female. The old Sophia, the old agnostics that Arrhenius argued, they're trying to make us bleed that hogwash. Well, if you want it, you can have it. I'll help you get a one-way ticket to Florida. Or Tennessee, if you prefer that. West Side. Whatever you want. Said they're all dead. You know what? Spiritual fornication. You know what that is? Creeds and dogmas. Ecumenism. God never forgave them. The only way the flood of death was stopped is when the young priest went in and stabbed through two people and caught in the act. Illicit, immoral. And killed them both. God stopped the plague. I think that stopped everybody else messing around too. Think how God came to us in this last day. We so utterly messed up, so bad off, so undone with our creeds and our dogmas and our way of living, off the word 2,000 years, didn't have a clue there'd be a presence, which is the appearing, didn't really have a clue that God was going to send Elijah, except was there in the Bible, and maybe somehow it would work out, because it has to work out, it's in the Bible. Never knowing we'd have a part. His grace and mercy, he came and raised up a bride church, and wooed her by doing these wonderful things for her, manifesting himself, healing, blessing, giving us his marvelous word, whereby we don't only have eternal life within the word, but immortality is just around the corner. So we thank the Lord that he took us out of the ecumenical move and has given us a real understanding of what ecumenism is all about and a real understanding of what love is about. So you don't get all messed up in your thinking. Because the word of God preached here is like Brother Branham preached. It's a constant rebuke. A constant rebuke to the intellectual dogmas and creeds that have been raised up by men. Which we ourselves did not have a part in as though we originated it. But we took what they gave us and added to it. Because we're so spiritual. Yes. And we're going to be that much nicer. Now, the world hates us. If the hate isn't increasing, I'm worried. If I'm not losing what I thought were some of my closest friends, then I have lost them very easily. The first one came as a real slap in the face. But it was good. It was good. Very good. You see, if the day ever comes, and it comes in death for everyone, but it comes previous too many times, when all you've got is God, then you've got everything. It's the first time you realize you got it all. Because all these little trinkets and things come in between us and God, little gifts and little feelings and this and that and the other thing. They all get between us. But I'm going to tell you, brother, sister, we get in this word, there ain't no in between, it's all inside. Okay. Living epistles read and known of all men? Sure. They know, not by the way we dress, but the minute we open our mouths, they know. They can't help but know. But that's all right. We're all going down that road together. And pretty soon we'll be out of here. I don't think it can be too long. Brother Branham will have been gone right away 30 years. Can there be 10 to go? Who knows? The major thing is, are we ready to go? Because he is here to take us. You see, you're not looking down the road as though, oh, Lord, come and take us. Oh, Lord, come and take us. Say, shut up, I'm here, and I'll take you when I'm ready. Say, brother, would he do that? No, but I would. For him. I'm telling you the truth. Don't say, oh, Lord, please come and do so and so. That's what Brother Bill warned you. Always looking back, always looking back, always looking back, always look ahead, always look ahead. Forget it! Look now! Is he here or is he not here? Oh, he's always been here. That's a life in the pit of hell. The pillar of fire went away with Paul 2,000 years ago, and William Branham attested to it by thus saith the Lord, vindicated by Almighty God, and these guys stand and pull a bunch of liars and spread it around and be like, who he is, who he is, who he is. If I had one guy from my brother-in-law, I'd bust his teeth in. I better not tell that to a certain fellow I'm talking about, because he can get mad enough to do it. You bust the teeth in doesn't do any good. Fighting is no use. You get a bit hot inside at times. You see, I'm not defending my own word and my own stand. If I were, I just have to quit preaching because, hey, everything I say is going to go down the drain. You couldn't believe it. You couldn't rest on it. Just condemn your soul. But if it's the living word of God, there's life in there and there's love in there. And you and I are standing where God wants us. Right as the apple is eye in the center of his bosom. And that ought to be enough for anybody. Let's rise and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the time we've come together to study your word, Lord. And we know if we never have another time together that this is sufficient for us, because this is what you would have ordained. But if we are to come together again, Lord, we ask you to further increase our understanding and our knowledge and our way, Lord, especially our way of life with this word, where we pack word upon word upon word, and then believe, Lord, as never before, that that life comes forth, generating and renewing our minds and giving us this love, Lord, amongst us that we've talked about. And then it's got to be somewhere, like Brother Branham said, if we're not bride, there's a bride out there somewhere, and by the grace of God, it won't stand in the way. Lord, this bride, this love and compassion, this life, this word, they're in somebody, Lord. And by the grace of God, and Lord, by grace and thoughts of grace, we take our place with them, Father, in heaven. And not even Father in heaven, except it means elevated place. For we know, Jehovah Elohim, you are here. You are here to raise the dead, having brought the message and implementing it and causing it to work mightily within us. Amen and amen, Lord. Raising the dead, gathering us together, taking us to the wedding supper, to the incarnation of the Spirit that's amongst us, even Jehovah Elohim, crowning in the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, just the same as it was when Jesus said, I and my Father are one, and there we're going to see it again, see the might and wonders, things of God, and then come back here, Lord, according to truth. Father, we know these things seem quite far off, and indeed we don't mind them being far off, as long as we have the nearness and the fire and the power of the Word for this very second as we stand here in the hours which lie ahead of us until the resurrection take place and the change take place. Let that Word begin to live and burn with the life and love that's in this Word here that you proclaim is there. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power, honor, and glory through Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.